AI is predicting the price of Bitcoin.
Today, we have the founder of one of the subnets on BitTensor, one of the hottest projects in the industry.
Welcome to the BeanPod. This is your place for all things stocks and crypto. From beginner tips to expert picks, use this as fuel for your investing journey. Because when you're in the know, your money will grow.
This episode of the BeanPod is sponsored by BitGet.
BitGet is the most user-friendly and secure crypto trading platform for both beginners and experienced traders.
BitGet is the best place to not only trade Bitcoin and Ethereum, but also all the small cap gems that we discuss every day.
With 24/7 customer support, leveraged trading, and a wide array of other advanced features, BitGet sets itself apart from every other centralized exchange.
Through Beanstalk's official partnership with BitGet, you'll receive 15% off all trading fees when you sign up using the referral link in the description.
All views expressed by speakers on the BeanPod are solely their opinions. You should not treat any opinion expressed on the BeanPod as a specific inducement to make a particular investment or follow a specific strategy, but only as an expression of their opinion. This podcast is for informational purposes only.
Welcome to the BeanPod. This is Shane, aka the Jolly Green Investor.
And this is Josh, the Nifty Investor.
Today, we're going to be revealing a project that is using AI to predict the price of Bitcoin.
We are very excited about this because BitTensor is one of the hottest projects in the world right now. And we have Arash, the founder of Taoshi. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, guys, for having me.
Lovely. Hey, let's jump right into it. Maybe you can let us know a little bit about Taoshi. And what problems are you guys solving?
So Taoshi, the core members of Taoshi have strong backgrounds in financial market trading and creation of algorithms and market strategies. And so we decided to create a subnetwork on BitTensor where miners compete to try to predict the future price movement of various trade pairs and asset classes. And right now we're really concentrated on Bitcoin.
Right. Okay. So, I mean, it's an interesting concept because you hear, obviously, DeFi is hot. Everyone's always trying to predict the price of Bitcoin or altcoins, and it is inherently difficult to do. So there's so much data out there. There's so many stats out there. So it seems like AI and machine learning can be a really useful tool to start to do this. So I guess the kind of the next question would be, what is your background in AI and machine learning, and how did you kind of get to this point in your career?
Yeah, so my background, I worked in Silicon Valley for a decade as a software engineer. I was previously a software engineering manager at LinkedIn and jumped into the world of financial market trading about 2 years ago. We created a company called Tarvis Labs, me and a couple other engineers. And the whole point of that was to try and create the best trading strategy in the world. We already had a background in trading prior to that. And we figured, hey, we can convert some of these trading strategies to be algorithmic models. So automate our trading strategies, jump to the world of AI. And so that's kind of what we did. And, you know, just sharpened our skills and sharpened our strategies. And then we found out about BitTensor and we thought, hey, this is a perfect pairing with kind of what we already, our experience and our understanding of crypto and crypto trading and just financial market trading in general. And we can take this to the next level by having other ML engineers and ML scientists come compete in give us their deep learning models to compete on the network as well. And so the output of this is essentially going to be, and is building towards right now, the best prediction output in the world for the prediction of various asset classes and trade pairs. So you can think of like, you know, hundreds of deep learning, machine learning models all competing simultaneously on one network to try and predict where prices are going in intraday movement, which is where the most return is in terms of trading. So incredibly competitive. We have teams of PhDs from various universities in the United States actually competing to try and solve this problem continuously. And so it's a very hard problem to solve, obviously, but if you have many, many good models, you can build what we consider kind of a consensus model on top. So you can essentially know which miners are the best miners historically. You can get an idea of where the market's going based off those miners because you have their historical references in terms of their performance, and you can gauge with a level of certainty and confidence where the market is heading. And so that's really what we're providing as an output, and that output is wanted by so many institutional players, so many retail players, they want to use that as another input to their existing strategies.
Yeah, I mean, who wouldn't want that, right? If we could all accurately predict exactly where Bitcoin is going to be tomorrow. I mean, think of the financial gains, which we're all in it, a lot of us are in it for. So you're part of BitTensor, you're one of the subnets, and we've been covering BitTensor now for the better portion of a year. And obviously we're familiar with the subnets, you know, some of our audience might just see price go up, price go down. But we're really familiar, we really want to know, how did you get involved with BitTensor? Like, we know that it's a decentralized model. There's not like a CEO, you just call up and be like, hey, can I pop into BitTensor? And then maybe you can let us know, and what is it like working within the ecosystem?
Yeah, so we found out, we're actually kind of late, I guess, to the party. We found out about BitTensor in August. So it wasn't that long ago. And immediately when we found out, though, with our background, we knew exactly what we wanted to do. We knew what we wanted to build. And so we just got in contact with their Discord, immediately posted in there. We were posting a ton of questions in there. And then eventually we were just like, hey, we want to go build a subnet when they're available. And so we got in contact with Const, Jacob, and you know, he got it. He gave us a starting point for us to start building in preparation. And so the minute that subnets launched, which was October, I believe, we were pretty much ready to go within that month. By the end of that month, we were ready to roll. And so our subnet launched early November, and we're subnet 8. So obviously one of the first subnets, and obviously never lost our slot. So we've always been in the ecosystem ever since subnets launched. And yeah, I think it was just, we just got lucky in finding BitTensor, I feel, at the time we did, to be honest. And it was just a perfect fit, and it made so much sense for us and what we wanted to do. So,
is it difficult to retain a spot? You just said we're lucky enough to keep it. Like, how quickly are subnets getting kicked out, or like, what is that process?
Competitive.
It's extremely competitive. You know, I think I read the other day that a subnet launched with a white paper. You know, they had done all the research on what they wanted to build. They had shown it to the community. And I think within a week, they got deregistered.
Wow.
So it's just incredibly competitive as to keeping a slot. And so the way we see it, because this is our first subnet, and it won't be our last. We are planning on launching more. We are really concentrating on the world of financial markets. And so we have many subnets that we want to go after in this realm. And so we realize that if we're going to launch our next subnet, if a company that has a white paper already ready to go and gets deregistered within a week, I think it was a week, don't quote me on that, but I think it was something like that. Yeah, that's the scenario. Then you got to launch with a lot more than that. You got to launch with kind of a working model. You have to launch with potential outputs, potential revenue streams, applications built on top. And so there's more that you need to deliver, right? And so it is extremely competitive. At this point, I think the cost is skyrocketed. I think it's close to 1,000 TAU to register a subnet, which is pretty astronomical.
Wow. yeah. For sure. No, I mean, look, as Josh mentioned, we've been covering BitTensor on the show now for a while. It's amazing to see subnets getting launched, you know, legitimate projects such as yours getting out there to the world. One of the things that really attracted us to BitTensor from the beginning was the fact that the decentralized AI model, it's open source. It's helping everybody that is in the ecosystem learn off of each other. So for example, the way that it's been pitched to us and that we've kind of understood is if one subnet and machine learning model makes a breakthrough, then it's being shared with all the other subnets so that it's this massive snowball effect of machine learning compared to, say, maybe the monopolies, you know, OpenAI, Google, where they're closed off and they just want to do everything for themselves. So, you know, from your perspective, how does it work, say, between the subnets? Are the subnets communicating? Like, do you guys communicate with the other subnets being like, oh, we figured this out? Or does it happen automatically? Or maybe if you can give us some insight into that, that would be interesting.
Yeah, so I think there's some really interesting cases here because we have such a diversity, right? We're concentrating on financial market forecasting. So a lot more time series based, and then we have LLM subnets, and there's definitely, and then, you know, there's also DPIN, right? There's DPIN subnets. They're not even AI related. And so there's absolutely an opportunity to collaborate with other subnets. So for example, we could store our data on other storage based subnets, right? So we could use them to store our information and access that information. They're scraping subnets. So we could use them for the purposes of gathering information for training or predicting. We can use the LLM subnets for sentiment analysis on data. And so you can just kind of cross it. You can use the other subnets for the purposes that you deem necessary for your subnet, which is pretty incredible, all within one ecosystem. As for the purposes of leveraging other subnets, open source models, it's more domain specific, right? So if the multiple LLM subnets kind of working together in the world of LLM, it makes a lot of sense. For us and what we're doing, we don't have as much of the cross collaboration with open source models. We actually create our own open source models for the rest of our miners to use and to add competition or increase competition on our subnet. So we kind of drive competition through these open source models and versioning them. And so they continuously get more competitive and more difficult to kind of differentiate against. But for other subnets, I think there's more opportunity for open source models to cross collaborate because they're in the same realm.
Yeah, the cross collaboration is what drew us to BitTensor in the first place, understanding how important it is to be sharing this data. And it'll be exciting to see when we go from 32 subnets to 64, 128, et cetera. And as that number keeps expanding, you mentioned something at the beginning of the episode, how you're working with massive teams from, I guess, like PhD related from universities, et cetera. Can you maybe walk us through the process of building a subnet and what the submittal approval look like in addition to maintaining it?
Yeah. So, as subnet owners, we define the rules of engagement between validators and miners. So there's a couple parties, right? So there's the validators who send requests to miners. The validators ask the miners for on our subnet, for example, for predictions on the price of Bitcoin. The miners return their predictions on the price of Bitcoin, and validators then validate the predictions in the future when those closes occur. So when the actual data comes in, they're able to validate the results against the other miners, against what actually happened and how close they were to reality. And so subnet owners, really, it's their responsibility to create that the rules of engagement and make sure that there's no gaming, there's no attacks on the network, which can be very prevalent, as anyone's trying to take advantage of such a lucrative environment with Tau, being able to receive Tau. It's really important to be able to defend your subnet against gaming. So that's really a big part of it. I would say from the PhDs, the people that are miners, just how lucrative it's become to mine on BitTensor, the talent level is starting to increase drastically. So, as I mentioned, there's teams of PhDs that are ML scientists coming to build their own ML models, deep learning models, to compete on our subnet, which is pretty incredible. So I've had conversations with them about onboarding, how they're building their model. Some of them have completely unique model techniques. I mean, things that don't even exist, they're completely proprietary, which is pretty incredible.
How lucrative is it exactly? Maybe there's people out there listening who want to start a subnet. Like what sort of lucrative business are we looking at here?
Or mining BitTensor. You said it's lucrative mining BitTensor. What are we talking here?
Yeah, so, I think right now BitTensor's value, don't quote me, but I think at this point in time, it's around $600. Yep. I think the market cap is about $4 billion. And so 7,200 Tau is created a day, and it's distributed across all the subnets. And then that's split between miners, validators, and subnet owners, majority going to miners and validators. So if you're a miner and you're a good miner on a subnet that is weighed very heavily, then you can make quite a lot of money. So for example, on our subnet, I believe we're at around $50 million in annualized, rewards for miners. Wow. Which is pretty good.
Yeah,
incredible.
It's the biggest incentivized marketplace for the prediction of financial markets in the world by a lot.
Wow.
Impressive. It depends on a per subnet basis. It depends how much weight is distributed to those subnets. There's a massive opportunity to make a lot of money. I was talking to some of the quant engineers on our subnet. They left their full-time jobs to just do this full-time.
Yeah.
They were engineers at top tech companies in the world, and they actually quit their job to do this.
Wow.
Because I follow up with them and I go, hey, how's mining going? And they're like, I left my job. I do this full time now. And I'm like, wow, that's incredible.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Crazy. Yeah, I mean, look, it's as we said at the start, you know, it's an exciting time to be around BitTensor AI and crypto in general. So I think you've given us a good insight into how it is, you know, building a subnet, getting approved, all that kind of stuff. So I want to shift the focus back specifically to your project, Taushi. So as you said at the start, you're focused right now on, you know, predicting the model for Bitcoin pricing. A lot of the people that watch this show, you know, they may not hold any Bitcoin. Maybe they're more focused on altcoin trading. So what I want to know is the predictive AI machine learning models that you're using for the Bitcoin price, is this something you can easily extrapolate to, you know, predicting the price of altcoins, other financial markets? Is that in the roadmap or is that kind of just way down the track?
Yeah, that's a great question. So for us, in generally in the world of trading for any quant firms or institutional side, which is really a lot of our projected customer base, most of the trading is with Bitcoin and Ethereum. And then altcoins are kind of secondary. The reason why is because altcoins liquidity is so typically so bad. It's very hard to, you know, accurately, and also they're so volatile. It's really hard to accurately predict the intraday price movement. However, for like Bitcoin and Ethereum, and then you go into like Forex markets, you go into SPX, you know, the stock market, you got SPX, you have NDX, you know, S&P 500 and the NASDAQ 100. And when you talk about those, there's highly liquid. It's a little bit easier to predict intraday price movement. And so that's the direction we're likely heading is Ethereum next. And Ethereum is very similar to Bitcoin. So in terms of the data you need to use to be able to accurately predict. And so it's going to be Bitcoin, Ethereum, and then we're going to actually switch to Forex. Because Forex markets are just absolutely massive, highly liquid, and there's so much interest over there. So that's going to be likely the direction that we go. And then after that, heading into stocks. But there's going to be other projects we're launching around altcoins. So we're not abandoning the idea of altcoins. It's just not for this in this subnet in particular. But it is something that is still on our radar.
How close are you to, like, let's say we want to start using Taushi today. How close is the accuracy and how, like, in how many months or what short period of time can we expect to start using Taushi to predict the price of Bitcoin?
Yeah, that's another good question. So for us, right now it's we've built a lot of infrastructure for our miners. That's really been the main concentration, right? So say you're an ML engineer, you're an ML scientist, and you learn about BitTensor, and you're like, wow, this is like a massive opportunity for me to like work on this full time. And you're like, I want to get started. Well, like, what's the infrastructure? How do you get started? Where do you build your model? And so we need to build all that infrastructure first, which is kind of enabling our miners to have a starting point in terms of infrastructure and how to solve this problem. And so we want to do that. So we partnered and we have affiliate programs with Glassnode and with Lunar Crush. So that gives them access to some of the best data in the industry in order to create their deep learning models. We created a feature engineering pipeline so they could, it's a, like a full product for them to get data from various data sources and then like pump it into their models and be able to do diagnosis on, you know, what's working, what's not working. They can do it. They have an entire like testing suite we're building out. And then what models are best to use. So we have a PhD from Stanford in-house that actually builds open source models to one, drive competition, and to assist our network of miners in analyzing and understanding which indicators and what features are best to use. So we're writing like case studies, publications, like on how to best approach this problem on our network. So all of that is being done on just the mining side, like to improve our performance. And so that's all been ongoing. And now at this point, it's more, okay, now we have the incentive, right? The price of BitTensor is very high, Tau. And, you know, we are the largest subnet in terms of incentive on the entire network. And so we have fully all the incentive necessary to get people to come compete. We've built the infrastructure for miners to compete successfully. And now it's about, okay, let's go out there and advertise. Let's get the best miners in the world. Right. And so now that's where we're at right now is let's go get the best miners. Let's get the best talent. Let's talk to the universities. Let's create additional challenges to make the process of onboarding even easier. So we're launching a testnet challenge, a community challenge on testnet, for example. It costs $0 to register, and we give out 10 tau a week. And the whole point is to create an environment that's absolutely costs $0 to register and compete in. And you can come in, test your deep learning, machine learning model against the rest of the community, and in the process, receive some tau. And so then you'll know how well your model would do on mainnet, right? When you're actually competing and there's a registration fee of 5-10 tau. So there's a cost to try and enter, and there's a cost if you lose. And so that's kind of, we want to create this environment that's kind of a starter. We're calling it the testnet challenge or community challenge. So things like that to just kind of, again, ease the process of miners joining, testing, and not getting, not getting turned away if they get deregistered on their first try. We're trying to avoid that for our miners. So I would say, you know, our plan here is in the next, by early Q2, to have a product that is as good as a quant firm's. That's our starting point, is, you know, kind of a baseline product that we know is good enough to use. And we're gonna actually open source a trading strategy to leverage on top of it. And then additionally, we're actually building an app on top of our subnet that is an entire user interface for traders to come in and slice and dice the data from the subnet. So the output of the subnet, like all the, say for example, like give me all the miners, give me their historical performances. Of those miners, give me these top 10. Okay, of these top 10, tell me when they're in consensus on a move of 2% or larger. And so you can build those kind of rules in a rule-based engine that we're building into a product, which we're calling our financial forecasting analytics platform. And so you're gonna be able to do that on top in an app that Taoshi is building for kind of our community. So that's what we're building for Q2. So early Q2, this should be fully functioning with a, you know, very good financial market forecasting product.
Very, very exciting. I mean, it's listening to obviously someone that works in the BitTensor community like yourself, listening to you talk about, you know, an app that users will actually be able to use and will be easily downloadable, a user interface, because I think things like this are what something like BitTensor needs to really reach, you know, quote unquote, mass adoption, get out to the masses, millions of downloads, then, you know, people that maybe aren't so deep into crypto like we are that, you know, you've discovered BitTensor. You know, if we go out in the street and ask people about BitTensor, no one's going to know what we're talking about, right? But if you start to, you know, get actual consumer-facing apps out there that are powered by the machine learning models of BitTensor, well, then that might be a different story. And then I think that's kind of where we all see the real potential. You know, we always kind of liken BitTensor is like the Bitcoin of AI. You know, Bitcoin was the decentralized finance solution that we were all looking for. To us, BitTensor is the decentralized AI solution that we all need. Now that you've kind of brought this, you know, what's going on behind the scenes, do you think that, say, 5-10 years down the line, obviously we're just really at the start of this AI boom, you know, it's taking over headlines everywhere. I think AI is obviously going to change the world in almost every industry. It's going to be a household thing. People are going to be using AI like they don't even realize it. Everyone knows the name of Bitcoin. Most people in the world have heard of Bitcoin. Do you think that BitTensor, as what we call the Bitcoin of AI, do you think that BitTensor will become like a popular household name in the future if and when AI kind of really takes over the world?
Yeah, I absolutely do, actually. You know, I think, you know, the way I see it is there's Bitcoin, there's BitTensor, and then there's other L1s that are going to be competing. You know, I don't know who's going to be coming up on top, like Solana or Ethereum. But, you know, BitTensor is kind of in its own category here because it's with its incentivization of AI. And from my perspective, decentralized AI and open source modeling is going to live on BitTensor. It's probably the only, new foundation coming to build a subnet. The best people, the brightest people in open source are going to be building on BitTensor because of the infrastructure provided. It's pretty brilliant. I mean, you're incentivized to create open source models to increase the competition on your subnet. I mean, I don't know any other network that's kind of like that. You know, when we asked ourselves, what can we do for the community? The first answer was clearly build open source, increase the competition, let people leverage your open source models. And so if actually just take a step back, just the world of financial market forecasting, like how many people are actually creating, you know, open source models and trying to provide, you know, their IP and opening it up to the world? Nobody. I mean, if you have a really good model, deep learning, machine learning model, that's able to predict the price movement accurately, why would you ever let other people use that? And so when we look at what exists currently in the open source world from financial market forecasting, it's practically nothing. I mean, it's like a desert. And so we're coming in and just kind of wrecking that whole scene. We're creating like very powerful models and techniques and gonna be letting anyone be able to leverage it. And the only reason we're able to do that is because of BitTensor. And so from my perspective, you can think we're just one sliver of, you know, one domain of all these other domains in AI that can be implemented on BitTensor. And so everyone else, in my opinion, is gonna adopt the same philosophy, like build open source, subnet owners, and as domain experts, and let others essentially come leverage that and bring more competition to your subnetwork, because at the end of the day, the output is what matters, right? Like what is your subnet outputting and how valuable that is? And so if you're gonna increase competition, you're absolutely gonna do that. So yeah, I think open source, you can look at Meta, you can look at all these big tech companies and trying to move towards open source. And in my opinion, that's gonna really live on BitTensor. And so it'll be interesting. I could even imagine some of these big tech companies coming to build on BitTensor. It could be pretty incredible.
We talk about the decoupling. I wonder if BitTensor will decouple from Bitcoin and the stock market, you know?
It's possible.
Speaking to these closed sourced, OpenAI, Google and Gemini and Bard and all that stuff that has been rolling out, put on your predictive hat here, and how do you foresee BitTensor competing with these multi-billion dollar companies? Is BitTensor going to wipe them out completely? Are they going to join? Walk us through that.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, I like the analogy to the beginning of the internet and how some of the parties, Microsoft tried to close off the internet a bit, tried to guide people in certain directions. And it just didn't work, right? Like you can't do that. And so AI is very similar. And so from my perspective, open source is going to be the direction for AI. Eventually you can't have it's not going to be a closed off system. The models are going to need to be, and honestly, open source models are starting to catch up very fast. They're iterating faster and faster. And so you can imagine one team from one company or just one company in general is just not going to be able to outcompete the entire open source community. So over time, I would imagine, I believe that open source will outcompete any privatized AI models. I think it's just a matter of time. And I think that that's the direction we need to go as a society. I think it's going to be pretty bad if, we start just using AI. I think people are already doing it, but, using skewed responses from various AI models that can't be checked. I think that's pretty bad. So. Yeah, the future, in my opinion, is going to be open source for various reasons, and it needs to be open source for various reasons. But I do think that BitTensor again provides just this really unique opportunity where like this incentivization is so great, and you can get such talented teams to come compete, and the value from this is so insanely good, right? Like, I mean, like the output of these models, I mean these subnets, these models are so performant, and so the value is definitely there too. So it's not just there's great incentive to come build. It's also like, wow, the outputs are really strong, right? They're as good as XYZ in my domain. And so that's where we're heading. Everyone has to remember, I think I get the message a lot, where's the revenue from subnets? Where's all the outputs from subnets? The subnets have only been around for like 4 months. Yeah. Like, and look at the progress we've already made. It's like from our perspective with what we're building, it's all revenue based, right? Like we want to deliver revenue as fast as possible. And so that's kind of our perspective. It's like, let's just push out revenue. Let's get BitTensor to have 8, 9, 10 figures revenue in across all of its subnets. And so if we show that, I don't know what can compete with that in the world of crypto. I mean, if you could show revenue streams of 8, 9 and a high growth rate with 8, 9 figures, eventually, I just don't know what can compete. The only thing would be like a store of value like Bitcoin. From like a project perspective, it would just be Bitcoin and BitTensor, in my opinion. So from my perspective, it's all revenue based. But I think from like a foundational point of view, the models and the fact that open source is going to live on BitTensor and the output of that is going to be invaluable. I mean, I don't even know how you quantify it. If you can output the best open source models in the world. right? So
very exciting. It's giving us a really interesting insight into not only BitTensor, but the last question we're going to ask you, just to wrap it up, let's put the focus back on your project on Taushi. What are the most exciting things that you are looking forward to delivering for the community, for BitTensor, for Taushi, for the rest of 2024?
Oh man, that is a loaded question. I think the number one thing every day I concentrate on is how can we deliver maximum revenue to this ecosystem? From our perspective, I've been in crypto since 2017. Just so many narratives and hype and false promises. And from our perspective, we just feel like we can break that chain with a real value, revenue driven value. And I think showing that on a dashboard that's completely public, right? Like all the revenue generated is public, is just so powerful. And so that's the direction we really want to head in. And I think, early Q2, I would say, I think our target right now is in May. We should already have that. And I think that's going to be great for the community is building that analytics platform. And then we're actually launching a second subnet right now. And that one, we are planning on having revenue day one. So again, this goes back to how challenging it is to launch the subnet. But we are heading in that direction with the intention of having it have revenue day one. We already have partners that are building on top of the subnet and expectation to deliver to retail customers. So, which is pretty cool. So for us, it's really the revenue side. And then from the community standpoint, one is that revenue model, but what we're building is actually a layer on top of subnets, which we're calling the request network. So currently, if you think of what BitTensor is, you have validators, you have miners, but it's kind of a closed box. Validators send requests to miners, miners respond with, their predictions or any other subnet, with their responses. And then validators have that information, but what do they do with that information? How can they sell that information, or how can they receive requests to allow miners to leverage that information or do something with it? Doesn't really exist right now. And so what we want to do is create a network on top of the subnet, which allows validators to sell the output to clients and apps. So you can think of validators from our subnet receiving these predictions from miners, which can be extremely valuable. And now we're creating this network on top, which allows the validators to receive payment for the predictions, and the payments are in stables. So everything's on chain, everything's trackable. And we know how much revenue validators are receiving. And we're partnering with companies like Uphold to try and fulfill the process of actually taking the stables, converting it to TAO, and dropping in the validator wallet. So we're creating all these like processes and this network on top. And we want to build the whole thing open source, so every other subnet can actually leverage it too, not just from the revenue perspective, from a traffic perspective too. So it'll be really fascinating when we get there. And from a community perspective, that's something that we're really concentrated on. And we're partnering with one of the validators, Roundtable 21, to deliver that for all the subnets.
Right. Yeah, that's where I got my TAO staked.
That's right. Yeah. Love it.
Yeah, they're great. They have a great program.
Perfect. Hey, you got us really, really, really excited. If half of the subnets are as exciting as you are, and you can really tell you're just like passionate about the open sourcing of the AI models, the machine learning models. So if we can have more guys like you and BitTensor and all the subnets, I think it's going to rub off and it's just going to continue growing into what we all believe. And so we appreciate you coming on the show today. We appreciate you providing a window into what is happening within BitTensor. And I think you are going to be one of the, the key components in helping that grow.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Hey, well, look, I know a lot of our community are big BitTensor OGs. If you have any questions about BitTensor, any questions about Taushi, feel free to leave them in the comments, and we'll be continuing to provide updates on this gem of a project.
And then tune into the next episode,
because that one is going to be a banger.
All views expressed by speakers on the BeanPod are solely their opinions. You should not treat any opinion expressed on the BeanPod as a specific inducement to make a particular investment or follow a specific strategy, but only as an expression of their opinion. This podcast is for informational purposes only.